This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing okay. It is kind of under the weather here in central Mississippi, but no, we're doing all right.
That's true. So. You said your voice was gone, but actually you're sounding good, man.
I sound okay. Yeah, I sound okay. It's one of those things, you know, the baby, as I think I mentioned last week, we were supposed to go to New Hampshire to visit my in-laws, and that got canceled because baby had a sinus infection or an ear infection, and then mama got a sinus infection and somehow pink eye, and then I wound up getting an upper respiratory thing, and so, man, we're just all kind of cruddy. Yeah, it's kind of... But I'd actually lost my voice there for a few days, which probably a larger percentage of folks here locally than I'd like to admit were thankful for. Yeah. It was just one of those things where I had trouble speaking for a while, but kind of turning the corner and doing okay, man. Just slowly easing back into the old pipe. I try to lay off any kind of smoking products just while I'm recovering from this kind of stuff because, you know, it's my voice, man. Gotta have it ready for this and gotta be able to, you know, jawbone with the guys up at the shop and that kind of thing. But things are going okay. We're on the mend. What's going on with you?
You know, it's funny because I remember a time when we were considered like the youthful voices of the pipe community, and now it's like we start every single episode with a list of our ailments. Like, I got a broken foot. You've got all the diseases
that's
your
hilarious.
Kids are bringing in. That's just, yeah. That's really funny. But no, man, things in Houston are going quite well indeed. But man, of course, this has been a week where the pipe community has really kind of come together. And you know, we need to start off the show by acknowledging a passing in the pipe community and in the pipe community family, really. And that is John Harden, aka Matches 860, as he was known, a prolific YouTube pipe community member, one of the largest voices and largest channels out there that really was a voice for the community. He tragically and unexpectedly passed this past week. And, you know, we always kind of talk about the fact that, you know, the YouTube pipe community, it's almost like they're like our cousins, right? Like we're a podcast, we've been on YouTube, but we've never really been necessarily part of the more traditional YouTube pipe community. But do feel a connection there and a kindred spirit there. And man, this is something that our community, the pipe community and kind of our family, pipe family, so to speak, is really hurting hard, not just for, you know, the loss of a voice, but of course, of a man that really represented the pipe community well, and whose family is also just feeling it. Of course, his daughter put out on, I want to say, Facebook earlier this week, they were trying to get some information. They want to bury him with his favorite pipe. And so our thoughts and our prayers are with the Harden family, with his daughter, with his wife, all of you who have tuned in to his videos and learned a lot through that and really felt a connection there.
Yeah.
Y'all are in our thoughts and our prayers as well. So, pouring some out for Matches 860 for sure.
That's right, man. It just shows you, the impact that, John had on the greater pipe community. So many people just with testimonies about, you know, how he was kind of the key to their on-ramp into the pipe world and folks that had gotten more into the YouTubing pipe community even because of him and, you know, had grown in their appreciation for more sophisticated pipes or met folks across the country because of connections to John. And so just a really special person. And it's amazing. We're just a few weeks away, removed from the fact that we did our best of 2019 episode. Of course, Matches 860, man, YouTube pipe channel of the year, and just so removed from that. It just shows you how fragile everything is, and we can't take it for granted. Man, John, a big, you know, voice in the pipe community, big reason why so many people have gotten into pipe smoking, stuck with it, appreciated it more than they probably ever would have. And so anyway, the best to his family and prayers for all his close friends and family.
Absolutely, man. The community is really coming together right now through this week. And, you know, we've been talking about as a whole, just the strength of the community and supporting one another.
We've got
the fundraiser for Rob E that's going on. Rob E, who's been fighting stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. Pipe smoking community up in Michigan has been getting together for the Smoke 'em If You Got 'em International Pipe Smoking Day tournament, poker tournament. That's going to be February 20th, so near the end of the month. We're getting close, guys. If you've not done so already, you can go ahead and buy some raffle tickets to support the event. If you contact Cody DeWint, fan of the show, listener of the show, and friend of the show, CodyDeWint@gmail.com. He can get you all the details. So no matter where you are, if you're not able to attend the event, if you're somewhere, I don't know, down in Florida, you could still get yourself some raffle tickets and help support Robbie through this time.
That's right. It's really exciting. You know, they've gotten folks from all over the pipe community to pitch in on this thing. And so we've got pipes from just awesome pipe makers, Joe Hinkle, Morgan Pipes, DR France, Smith House Pipes, just Missouri Meerschaum's donated a few things, just some really exciting stuff. And so you can, you know, put your name in the hat to, you know, win some of these cool awards that have been donated and also help Rob E, you know, during this tender time. So email Cody at CodyDeWint@gmail.com. And you can buy, you know, raffle tickets through him, and it'll help support the goal. And you know, maybe you'll walk away with something cool as well.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, I know that, you know, February continues to be, continues the theme of early 2020 events at the Squire. What's going on this month, man?
Yeah, man, it's so exciting. We've got more of our 50th anniversary things kind of unfolding as we are moving along. And so, of course, International Pipe Smoking Day is February 20th, and we'll be releasing a couple of really, really exciting items here in the next week or so in conjunction with that. One of them will be our annual International Pipe Smoking Day t-shirt, which we're really fired up about this year, and then also the a commemorative tobacco item that we are very, very excited about that will be coming out here very soon. And so, limited edition for now. Who knows if it takes off? It might be something that sticks around for a long time. But man, something we hope is really a joy to continue to celebrate our little, you know, shop and Country Squire community. So stay tuned. More details on that. Hopefully this time next week. Pretty exciting. February 28th, we've got Eric Nording coming to the Country Squire doing an event here in conjunction with Rocky Patel Cigars. And so Eric's going to be selling his own pipes, signing pipes, and man, glad hadn't and all that kind of stuff. He hadn't been to America in a couple years, and so this is one of the first times he's been back in a little while. And we're thrilled just to host him at the Country Squire as part of our 50th anniversary celebrations. And of course, you know, moving right along into March 28th, next month, we've got a Lunt to Remember. That we're doing in conjunction with the International Lunting Society here in Jackson, Mississippi. Our friend Scott Beidler over at the International Lunting Society, he has collaborated with us to do this awesome event here at LaFleur's Bluff State Park in Jackson. Again, March 28th. And we're going to go hiking, man. We're going to go hiking. And after that, we are going back to the Country Squire for live music, food, lots of cold beer, and good fellowship. And also being joined by our friends from Briarworks International in Nashville, being joined from Missouri Meerschaum Pipes, which we all know and love. And then also our friends from Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Peter Stokeby and Oral and Escudo and all those great brands that you know and love. So they are all converging on Jackson. That's again March 28th, and man, it'd just be a lot of fun, a great time for you to come make your pipe pilgrimage to the Country Squire. So we're excited for that.
It's a blast, man. I'm ready. I am so ready for this. I got my flight.
A lot going on. Yeah, man. You got your plane tickets. You're coming in town. We're going to do a show, baby. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good one, man. We might do two shows. We might do a Squire Select. There might be food involved. That's all I'll say on that at the moment.
That's crazy talk, man. Come on.
I'm just speaking it into existence. That's all I'm saying right then and there.
Name it and claim it, baby.
Exactly. But no, man. So it's a fun time. Of course, the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, by the way, continuing to grow. We got some two new members as well. We got to give a shout out to at the Squire level, Rush. The hit band Rush has now become I'm just assuming
next week ABBA. Yeah.
Now, man, we got Rush joining at the Squire level. Also at That's the exciting, Pilgrim man. Level, we got Scott E. Now, I don't know if that is Scott and like the last name starts with an E, or if it's like Scott E, like Scotty, like beating me up.
Yeah,
Scotty.
I don't know. Either way, I'm for it, though. You know, yeah, I mean, Rush and Scotty, I'm tickled. I really am. Thanks so much, guys. Of course, Rush, man, longtime listener and friend of the show. We're so grateful, man, to have you at the Squire level. And Scott E. at the Pilgrim level, man, you guys are the reason we are able to keep doing this. And we're so thrilled. So it's cool, man. I got, man, just a whole boatload of new plaques that are about to go up on the wall for members that have been at the Squire level for a year, you know, to if you're a Squire level member for a year, you get your name on a brass plaque on the wall at the Country Squire. And so we've got folks from all over the world that are part of our community who have their name etched, you know, at our brick and mortar shop, and always will. So we're very thankful for that. And man, that number keeps growing. And Rush, you and now Scott, y'all are participating. We're thrilled.
Absolutely, yes. And hey, if you want to join the club, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio to learn more about it today. Again, that's patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Man, all right, it is a tobacco talk. Yes, it is one of episodes that the reason why people seek out a pipe tobacco podcast in the first place is to get tobacco reviews. Or at least you would think. I mean, you know, it is kind of the bread and butter. It is what is expected, and yet you only get it like, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, you know, it's the glue that holds this little paper cardboard ship together, but at the same time, I think people come for that, but maybe they stick around for our ridiculous charm.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see. But one way or the other, this is you know, it's so funny because, you know, you think about tobacco talks, they've really evolved over time. It used to be back in the day there was kind of one loose leaf and one tin, but then, you know, sometimes we got both loose tobaccos, but sometimes we got both Country Squire tobaccos, sometimes we have no Country Squire tobaccos, sometimes it's just Tin City. What are we looking at today, John David?
Man, that is right. You know, we kind of take it a week at a time, or a review at a time, just things that have been interesting that have come across our desk or through our cellar, things that have been recommended and this and that. And so, man, this week a couple of fun ones I'm excited about. So yeah, we'll get it kicked off. Both of these are generally readily available, and especially this first one, you can get it right now. It is a beautiful can and something that is only available from smokingpipes.com. A very premium tobacco, something that was introduced a few years ago to honor a legendary brick and mortar store. And we are talking about Drucker and Sons Limited, Blair Gowrie. Drucker and Sons, of course, man, this is, you know, a series of tobaccos that was introduced a few years ago through the, you know, kind of wing of Laudisi, smokingpipes.com, you know, the American importers for Savinelli, and now the owners of Peterson Pipes. They conspired with Greg Peace, the famous, you know, flavor palate, you know, wizard who developed some of the, you know, most delicious pipe tobaccos in the world. Greg actually got his start at Drucker's Pipe Shop there in Berkeley, California. And so this is something that was very personal to him. This is a storied pipe shop, Drucker and Sons Limited, founded in 1841. It was a shop where, you know, folks like Henry Irving and Charles Dickens would go to, you know, get their choice briar and sample different tobaccos. And I mean, so this is a real institution. 1928, John Drucker III moved the shop to Berkeley, California. It eventually, you know, decades later, went out of business in 1990. But this is the shop where, as a young, you know, didn't even know he was aspiring yet tobacconist, Greg Peace walked into, you know, and got his start. These older gentlemen who really knew their craft took him under their wing, you know, that's where he kind of was exposed to, you know, premium pipe tobacco and truly artisanal blending and things of that nature. So, the blends that were introduced by Smoking Pipes a few years ago were to commemorate the original Drucker and Sons blends. And so they, you know, did a lot of research. Greg, of course, who is the, you know, master, you know, tobacconist, artisan, who, you know, just is able to, you know, wizardly put these things together. He drew from anecdotal evidence, as any kind of records he could find, and also his own primary, you know, he was there and had smoked a lot of these products himself. And so, you know, it really did a lot of work to replicate some of the most famous Drucker and Sons blends. And, man, just did a masterful job. And what happened was some luxurious tobaccos that are a little more on the expensive side. But, you know, this is one of those instances where you really pay for what you get. And they've come out with some awesome replications of the older blends. And they're readily available now. So today we are talking about the Drucker and Sons Blair Gowrie. It is a 3.5 ounce tin. It's a large tin. It retails for about $21.25. Very attractive. It's got that big regal, you know, red lion on the front of it. It says Drucker & Sons Limited, superior tobacco for the discriminating smoker. Blair Gowrie. And it also comes in a 200-gram tin if you're one of those people that like, you know, want to stock up a little more. I'll read the back of it. It says, "Legends endure. The story begins in 1928 when John Drucker moved his acclaimed London tobacconist shop to Berkeley, California. My journey began," this is writing from Greg Peace, "my journey began 52 years later, entering the inner sanctum of the warmly lit shop. I was seduced by the old world atmosphere, especially the large glass apothecary jars filled with tobaccos of exquisite aroma and taste. My heart never left. Guided by surviving descriptions, conversations, and my own vivid memories of these legendary blends, I have worked to recreate my favorites for a new generation of pipe smokers to enjoy, bringing the Drucker tradition of outstanding luxury pipe tobaccos to the 21st century. Fill your pipe and journey back in time with me to the smoke-filled salon of Drucker and Sons." And of course, that's from Greg Peace, the poet and bard himself.
I'm telling you, man. Yep. Nobody quite knows how to spin spin a yarn right like
no, that's it, man. He is the poet and he knows it.
The old poet right there. Yeah.
You know, you open the tin and it's just beautiful. It's got a little you know, card, kind of circular card that goes in the top of the can when you open it. It's a little thing that's also from Greg. It says, "When I first walked through the drawers of Drucker and Sons, I had no idea I was about to embark on a long and special journey. Now, decades later, it's my pleasure to bring some of my favorite tobacco memories to life." And so just kind of, you know, makes that extra special in opening this this beautiful tin. This is a Scottish style mixture. You know, if you've listened to us before, you'll know kind of how we define that. It's always interesting when I, you know, read the other folks, how they describe, you know, these different mixtures. There's so much, you know, how do you define a Balkan mixture? How do you define an English mixture? What's you know, what, this or that? And, you know, even to the point where, like, what's an aromatic? Like, you know, and so, you know, it's always good to define your terms. I mean, for us, you know, as I've kind of been consistent, I think anyway, describing a Scottish style mixture, I've always listed it as a tobacco that is Virginia's Latakia and Orientals, with the Orientals kind of being up front a little bit, kind of more featured than the Latakia, with the Latakia being a supporting character kind of in the background. So almost think of it like an English blend, but where the Orientals kind of outshine, the Turkish leaf kind of outshines the Latakia there. And so that's what we have here. It's beautiful. When you open the can, it's just, man, popping the seal on this tin, you're just really, you know, overpowered with a really nice sweet and sour, smoky, vinegary smell. It's just really, really nice. You know, one of those things where you're eager to crack it open. From the description, "Created in the classic Scottish blending style, Blair Gowrie is a robust blend of matured and aged Virginia leaf, fine Orientals, Cyprian Latakia, and Perique, pressed and aged into cakes, then sliced and fully rubbed out for a rich smoking experience. Blair Gowrie is deep and full tasting and quite slow burning for a long, smooth smoke from first light to last puff." And so, you know, when you open the tin, it is a kind of a mixture. You're looking at something that's not quite ready rubbed, and is also not quite a broken flake. It's somewhere in between, and it's just very satisfying to look at and to hold. The leaves, you can tell, were very intentionally pressed together, and when they were broken up to this particular texture, this is something where you really are not going to have to tear it apart at all anymore to load it in your pipe, but you still know you're smoking a broken flake. So just really attractive, really nice. Lots of Latakia smell when you open up the tin, very Latakia forward, which, you know, Latakia, even as in a small percentage, it makes itself known, right? You're always aware that that's there. And the leaves, you know, these little broken flakes, they're golden and dark brown leaves, all kind of mottled together, just very, very beautiful. This tin I've got that I've been kind of working on, it's an older can, so some of the little sugars have been, you know, pronounced there on the outside of the leaves and are just very, very tasty looking. There's a tanginess, a sourness here that, you know, is evident when you start thinking about, you know, age Virginia's, Perique, you know, Oriental leaf, you know, this is just a very rich blend, you know, as soon as you dive into it, that it's going to be packed with flavor even before you light it. So it packs nicely in a medium-sized bowl. The crumbled flakes really need no extra tearing apart. You know, you can tear them apart further, particularly if you have a smaller bowl. But I think these flakes go nicely in just a medium-sized bowl, kind of as they are. It is going to be a slow-burning tobacco, and because of that, you may have to relight it a few times. It's one of those things where, you know, you just smoke it slowly, puff it slowly. The Virginia content here may sneak up on you a little bit, but, you know, just smoke it slowly, and you know, as you go on, if you have to reintroduce a little flame here and there to get it relit, not a big deal. Smoke it at that cooler temperature and it'll really shine. So packs easily again into the bowl. Doesn't require any drying at all. This is one of those tobaccos that you know, right out of the gate, it just really requires no extra drying. You can really open it right from the can and load it up. It is a true Scottish mixture to me. The Latakia certainly is present, but the Turkish leaves are forward in this blend, and I think marry well with the matured Virginias really nicely. So you get those matured darker leef Virginias. They're you know, have that kind of mellow sugar, you know, that's there. There's a with the Orientals, there's a rich and a sour flavor that's very apparent. There's just a little bit of the floral kind of honey flavor in the background, but mostly that sour, rich mustiness that's really nice. And the Latakia, you know, obviously very present, but it's kind of behind that sourness that you're getting, you know, primarily in my sense from the Oriental leaf. You know, less present, the Latakia is less present in the smoke than it is in the actual tin note of the tobacco when you smell it. So, you know, to me, it kind of becomes a supporting cast member through the bowl. So if you're looking for a lat bomb, this is probably not what you're looking for. But if you're looking for a really nuanced tobacco that, you know, lets those Turkish leaves shine, man, you're in for a real treat here. The Perique is kind of undergirding the entire experience, right? You've got that kind of mushroomy, stewed fruit, you know, experience that's kind of, you know, just holding up the whole experience there underneath. It's certainly not the, you know, the main player, but it is there and very present. So, yeah, you know, it's a tobacco that burns really clean, incredibly flavorful. You know, the room note, it's, you know, tolerable, not something that, you know, your, you know, friends that don't smoke pipes are going to just, you know, crave to sit next to. But at the same time, if you're looking for something that's incredibly flavorful, and certainly the pipe smokers, pipe tobacco, you know, this has a lot to offer. The Blair Gowrie does. Virginia smokers, I think, will love it. It'll push them a little bit on the Latakia content. The Latakia smokers, there's certainly enough there for you. This is a tobacco for someone that likes a lot of complexity, and it brings all that to the table in spades. And so, man, Greg Peace, you know, hats off again. Like every time your name comes up on our show, always, you know, have to mention, I want to be you when I grow up. And this is one more example of why that is. So great job on the Drucker and Sons Blair Gowrie, and that's available at smokingpipes.com.
Gotcha. Hey, I want to circle back to something that you made reference to earlier, and that's as part of just the design here. But does that have to do with the shop through which this takes inspiration, or is that does it have a different origin?
I'm actually not sure. My guess is just because this is such a traditional homage to a very historic brand.
Right.
My guess is that is part of maybe their family crest or the original shop marketing. I'm not aware, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
I'd like to know more about Drucker & Sons. I don't really know, and there's not a lot of super readily available information online. I don't know if they moved to the United States in 1928, for a specific reason, if they just thought there was more, economic opportunity here, if they had a family event that moved them here, or, there's just no telling. But obviously, it was a big transition for their family and for the institution of the tobacconist. And, it evolved over the years greatly because of that. And of course, now we have one of the best blenders in American history, Greg Peace, is in America, creating the blends that he creates because of his experience in part learning at Drucker & Sons. And so just a cool story and intertwined in our modern day, love of the leaf. And so anyway, pretty cool. Yeah, I would love to know more about the story of the actual tobacconist itself. Yep.
Very cool. Well, yeah, no, a very, very nice tin. Like, this is, you definitely feel like you're getting something special here.
Yeah. 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 The price tag is, a little more expensive, but you are getting a lot of tobacco there. It's the 3.5 ounce tin, and it reminds me a lot of the size of the old McClelland anniversary tin that they would come out with. Just really something special. When you're, opening a package like this, that you're about to get a treat.
Love it, man. Well, good deal. All right, so what you got next?
Sam Gaywith Golden Glow. Now, Sam Gaywith, of course, these are tobaccos that, hail from the northwest portion of England. We've talked about Gaywith and Hogarth for, many times that we've featured them on a brand-specific episode, and, love what they do. It's interesting. They have such a popularity, and a lot of these tobaccos are incredibly hard to get right now. But the Kendal region in Great Britain where, these tobaccos are made, it just has a long storied tradition of creating very nuanced blends that have specific flavor profiles, and of course these Sam Gaywith and Gaywith and Hogarth, these kind of cousin or brother and sister brands that were one, then split, now are one again, go back all the way to the 1790s, which is really, really special. And, of course, still using some of the old equipment even from that era, which is just crazy. But Gaywith and Hogarth and Sam Gaywith tobaccos are actually, they're pretty hard to get right now in the United States. These are tobaccos that they produce a lot of them, but they're just not readily available. I think they have changed some of their distribution over the last couple of years here in the U.S. They've switched from, a distributor that does a lot of pipe tobacco stuff to a different distributor that is, kind of cutting its teeth in the pipe tobacco world. And so, we're having a little trouble getting Gaywith and Hogarth and Sam Gaywith tobaccos nowadays. But, I think that is being solved some. They are slowly coming out. You're slowly seeing more, Full Virginia Flake, Squadron Leader, Golden Glow, which we'll talk about today, Lakeland Dark, Chocolate Flake. I mean, there's just a lot of legendary tobaccos here that, should be in anyone's, if not seller, at least a tobacco that you've tried at some point. Because, Squadron Leader, these are tobaccos that are just very, very venerated and, looked to by a lot of enthusiasts as a great example. So today we're talking about Golden Glow, Sam Gaywith. This tobacco, it's incredibly simple packaging. It's probably one of the more simple designs there that Sam Gaywith has. They're typical kind of rectangular vacuum sealed tin, and it has just a very simple golden hue to it with a sun right there in the middle, just that kind of warm yellow orb. Just very simple. It's listed as a broken Virginia flake, and the description, flue cured golden Virginias are pressed and matured and then you know, cut to form this broken flake at medium strength. So, you know, just a very simple thing. Obviously, Sam Gay with a great tradition of handling Virginia tobaccos. You know, it's funny. We've talked about Gay with Virginias before. I'm a Virginia smoker. And it's one of those things I just have not gotten. I've not fallen in love with that one Gay with Virginia like so many of my my friends have. You know, full Virginia flake is that for a lot of people. You know, there's various ones. Folks like Golden Glow. I just have not fallen for that specific one. And so I'm always looking, you know, hoping that the next time I try one, it'll be the time that I really go head over heels for a Sam Gay with blend. But nevertheless, Golden Glow is a great tobacco. It's very popular. It's one of those, if you are a Virginia lover, at some point you would want to try. So you open the tin, and it's a very homogeneous leaf. You're seeing, you know, whereas the Drucker and Sons, when we opened that tin, it had a lot of complexity in color and character. The Golden Glow, we're looking at something that through the mixture, it is incredibly uniform. And just a very beautiful golden color, honey color flavored tobacco. It's something where you realize immediately you're smoking a just an unadulterated Virginia. Gently sliced into these little chunks. It's got just a, you know, even more thinly sliced than the Drucker and Sons Blair Gowrie. This is, you know, going to be just very simple, you know, I don't even know if you could call it ready rubbed. It is ready rubbed because it did come from a cake, but at the same time, you know, it's almost a ribbon cut tobacco. I mean, it's just right there. You've got these little elements that kind of stick together, and you know, when you light them, they're gonna, you know, peek over the top of that bowl and be really satisfying. So the tin note on Golden Glow, it smells a lot like Orlick to me. It smells a lot like Orlick Golden Sliced. And, you know, it there's even elements, though. It's, you know, claims to be an unflavored tobacco. So many tobaccos do. There's an element to me of a little bit of MacBaren Scottish blend here, which, you know, has a little topping on it. There's just that kind of a little plummy tang there, maybe a little vanilla that is just very pleasing kind of in the background there on the tin note. So this is a moist tobacco when you pull it out of the tin, as most Sam Gay with tobaccos are. And so, you know, one thing that Gay with tobaccos are known for is moisture out of the can, and then having to, you know, in a lot of sense, either age these tins or in some cases, you know, let them sit out for a day or two before you smoke them. Some people are able to load them right up and enjoy them immediately. So it's just, you know, one of those things where your mileage may vary. I think that has been a difficulty for me with Gay with tobaccos is the moisture content. Over the years, I just kind of have trouble fumbling through the best way to prepare these and to, you know, let them kind of sit before they go into the pipe and that type of thing. It might be one of those deals where, you know, maybe I just haven't developed the patience for it or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it is a moisture tobacco, and you'll probably want to let it air out a little bit before you put it in your pipe. Packs easily once, you know, it does reach a good, you know, moisture level, and requires very little relights. Golden Glow, let me just say, you know, a lot of Virginia's smokers go to Virginia tobaccos because they like complexity, they like nuance. Golden Glow is a very simple tobacco, incredibly simple. You're getting citrus, you're getting honey, you know, there's a very little amount of grassiness in the background. It's a semi-sweet tobacco. It's something where you'll, you know, experience, again, those little notes of either honey or vanilla that are kind of floating there, trying to make themselves present but seem a little shy. this is a one-dimensional tobacco. It is a clean, burning, simple, all-day, everyday tobacco. It's an excellent Virginia, but it's not super complex. And so it's one of those tobaccos that if you have a steady supply to, you may enjoy it all the time. It's got, you know, just a good all-day, everyday Virginia smoke. I kind of compare it to Orlick Golden Sliced, sans the Perique. you know, probably not quite as full bodied or, you know, spicy like the Orlik, but it does have those citrus notes and just a real clean flavor that I think is very pleasing. So Golden Glow from Sam Gaywith. And, you know, again, right now, kind of hard to get your hands on this. It's not one of the most popular Gaywith tobaccos that are out, but all Gaywith tobaccos right now are, you know, incredibly hard to get your hands on. So but if you can and you're a Virginia lover, smoke it and try it. Some people even mix this with a little Cavendish or a little Latakia just to spice it up a little bit. Yeah, monkey with it. Enjoy it.
All right. Well, yeah. And if you do, let us know for sure. I got to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of the packaging for this one. It doesn't necessarily catch my eye. However, I was able to locate a kind of a retro tin, like what their classic look to the way they had this. I mean, like it... You know, I hate to like bash on somebody's marketing or anything of that nature,
but I'm going to.
Well, I mean, like, you know, it does have that, you know, golden glow, right? It's the sun and it's glowing and everything's gold. And, you know, that's fine, except for the rest of it is just like, here's 40 different fonts, like right up in your face. But if you go like to like the classic Golden Glow tin, they it was quite nice. It was it had a very retro, almost radio, kind of can radio type of look to it. So anyway, I just if I were in charge, I'd consider consider taking a look back in the back. That's
it's
all
so
I'm
funny,
saying.
You know. In a lot of those you know brands, we you know some of the best tobaccos and products in the world. The marketing is lacking, and a lot of them they can get away with that.
They can get away with it. Yeah,
you know the product speaks for itself, right? Mm-hmm. So Sam Gaywith tobaccos, they you know they're legendary and have a great following, and you know don't necessarily have to spend a whole lot of time on making a an attractive package, you know. And a lot of their tin art is beautiful, but this one is you know just very very simple. It's got that kind of you know butterscotch looking you know orb on the front of it. But anyway, you know worth trying though. You know one thing again about Sam Gaywith tobaccos that I. Square tins are notorious about popping open, you know, prematurely, just, you know, where you're not really, you know, they'll pop open in your cellar kind of deal if there's a temperature change or something of that nature. Rectangular tins are even worse. I mean, they are just so notorious for popping open. And so if you do get your hands on a tin of Golden Glow or any Sam Gaywith tobacco and you want to age it for a longer period of time, just know that that's a risk. And again, like we talked about on our aging show before, you may, you know, make the decision to pop it open and put it in a mason jar just to be super safe. You know, if you like the tin and want to keep it like so many of us do, hang on to it. Once you get ready to smoke your tobacco out of the mason jar, if you want the full experience, you could put it back in the tin and pull it out of there, but as you enjoy it. But you know, it's one of those things where you know these tins are pretty notorious about popping open, and so just know that that's a risk if you get your hands on a Sam Gaywith tobacco.
I laugh, but at the same time, man, I'm in the process right now of you know transporting all of these tins and canning them up, so to speak, and it's painful because some of the branding is and some of the tins themselves are so beautiful. I didn't think about the fact I could just like re-tin them up. Like,
well, it's funny, you know, it's like, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to take it out of the tin to safely age it. But then when you're ready to smoke it, you know, so that you, you know, get the full experience, you're going to put it back in the tin.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Are we really doing this? Like, I mean, and the answer is yeah, we are. Because we're pipe smokers and that's what pipe smokers do. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly
I've got, you know, some of our customers, they constantly are finding reasons to use those tins. You know, I've got guys that roll their own cigarettes and you know and with premium tobacco, and so they'll get their favorite squared off tin and you know fill it full of their own little rolled cigarettes. I mean, any excuse, right, to use a beautiful tin like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm for it.
Well, good deal, man. Well, hey, of course, when you're trying these tobaccos or any new tobaccos that you're finding and hearing reviewed, you know, it's always great because you never quite know what you're going into. Of course, John David has the most amazing flavor palette out there and is able to kind of direct us and I think probably lay a groundwork for most people to know kind of where they're headed. But at
you have a straight face when you say that kind of thing.
No, of course, man. Come on. One way or the other. I guess it's kind of one of those LeVar Burton type moments, right? Don't take our word for it. You know, try them yourself. But you want to make sure when you are trying them, you're getting a good quality smoke, that you're making sure that you are getting all those flavor profiles. And to do so, we recommend you get yourself a good quality pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. And today we are featuring a pipe that probably balances best out of their entire lineup, bowl size with pocket size. And so we've got a small frame pipe that has a nice medium-sized bowl, doesn't cut corners on the size of the bowl for a small pipe. And today we're talking about the Little Devil Cutty Corncob Pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. Beautiful pipe. It's become one of our really good sellers at the Country Squire. It has a traditional cutty shape. You've kind of got this circular, brandy-ish shaped bowl that has a slight cant forward, a flat bottom, so it sits very conveniently with the hardwood insert there, and then the tenon kind of small and short coming out of an angle with a nice small saddle bit stem. And so the thing I like about this pipe is that it is a small pipe but doesn't sacrifice the bowl size. Again, medium-sized bowl, great for having a full-size smoking experience there, not having to have a pocket pipe that has a small bowl. You can really enjoy a nice portable pipe that will get you through a couple hour smoke if you need it. And so great pipe. It retails for $13.29, and you can actually get it straight from the source at corncobpipe.com. It's available there along with its sister pipe, the Little Devil Acorn, and just two beautiful pipes, and we think you ought to check them out.
That's absolutely right. And hey, if you got a Little Devil, be sure to smoke it this week. Take yourself a picture of yourself doing so. Self twice, that's fine. Selfie. There you go. Take yourself with yourself doing it. And be sure to tweet those out. We love to retweet it out. It lets the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week is coming in to us all the way from none other than Scott. That's right. Scott. Here's what Scott had to say.
Love Scott.
Great Scott. Says, I was recently gifted some old unopened tins by a family member who has quit smoking. One of them is a 2004 tin of McClelland Christmas Cheer. Ah. Ooh. Scott, ooh. I don't even know where you're going with this question, but I go ahead and tell you, man, you don't want to smoke that. You need to send that to me. courtesy of... No, I'm just kidding. One of them,
Scott, that's a mortgage payment is what that is.
Yeah. You get yourself a little something. One of them is a 2004 tin of McClelland Christmas Cheer. Is this tobacco potentially past its prime? I seem to remember John David saying something about Virginia's not improving past a certain point. Will its flavor decrease? Thanks. And again, that is from Scott. Yes, Scott, I'll go ahead and answer that for you. I'm sure it probably is. Go ahead and just send that to me. I'll take that off your hands. No. What does John David say?
Look, a heck of a gift, an incredible find. Okay. So we've discussed this before, again, to repeat something I said earlier, today, your mileage may vary. The thing about Virginias is that, over time, as those starches are turned into sugar, in the tin, the tobacco, the flavor, benefit of the whole process, it does come to a peak. You get these really rich, sugary, flavors that kind of, shine and add a lot of complexity. But at some point they get, so matured, fermented in that tin, that they just kind of start to mellow out and taste, almost more like a Cavendish, really. Mm. Just kind of a sweet air that's very, very dark and not super complex. And so, to me, there is a prime there. For me personally, again, this tin tobacco is probably a little past its prime. Now, you've got some people that would really covet a older tin like this that would, be looking for something that has that dark, rich, super aged, flavor to it. It's going to be very velvety, incredibly smooth, you know, and so those are things that are, you know, desirable for some folks. But for me, some of the pleasant bite, the natural sugars are just going to be a little too muted probably in this particular tin of tobacco. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we are talking about a 16-year-old can of tobacco here, right? I mean, there are leaves inside that can that have been, you know, actual plant leaves, right? that have been sitting there for 16 years. And so, you know, my sense is, you know, for me personally, it might be a little past its prime. But for you, it may be something that you would like to try. And, you know, if you haven't tried a Virginia tobacco that's that old, this is your chance to, you know, to check it out and see what you think about it. And so it may be worth that. It also may be worth, you know, sticking aside and saving as a keepsake or one of those things where you try to auction it off or something like that, because there is some value to these collectible older tins, specifically McClellan tins. And so, you know, it again, personal preference. For me, you know, the prime point of this particular tobacco would probably be 5 or 6 years, you know, past its canning date. But again, your mileage may vary. It might be one of those things where you just won't know until you open it up. So my guess is it's going to be very dark. You know, it's going to have fermented long enough for the flavors to just be incredibly mellow, caramely, you know, dark, really smooth, but not particularly complex. And so, anyway, just my own two cents there. But you never know. Open it up, try it out. Maybe you'll really like it.
And let us know how that goes. I'd be very, very curious to see what your thoughts are on it. If it was worth it, because I mean, you know. You could put it up on eBay. Just saying, you never know. I mean, it's a gamble, right?
Yeah, or you could just send it to Bo York,
I'll
555 Pennsylvania Avenue in Houston, Texas, or whatever.
That is 100% not my address, but I will take it off your hands.
It's probably not an address at all, right?
I would love that, man. No, but please, by all means, enjoy it and let us know what you think. And hey, great pipe question of the week. If you've got yourself a pipe question of the week you'd like to send to us, be sure to send that in. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Ow! All right, man. Wow.
Such a weak owl, man. That's all you get from this pitiful voice today.
I'm shocked we even got that. Congratulations.
I know, right? Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
All right, man. We're continuing on the game edition from last week. This is, of course, a classic physical games, not video games, but classic games. So here we go. You ready for this?
Yep.
Risk or Settlers of Catan?
I've played Settlers one time and it was okay, but I've played Risk like my whole life.
Right.
So I'm going to go 9.5 times out of 10 with Risk.
Man. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. Same type of situation. I played Settlers once. I played it. And I can say I've played it. I don't get the appeal, if I'm being totally honest. It just never really spoke to me. But Risk is world domination. I'm
That's the York bread and butter, right? Yeah, that's
telling
the York,
you, man.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed Settlers of Catan the time I played it. Just one of those games I've never played anymore. Never really had much opportunity to, I guess. So I never got into it. But I'm sure it's an awesome game. I got to go with Risk.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. It is a time investment, but that's part of these days, that's a big selling factor, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Dude, we used to actually, in the early days of, you know, pre-children days, me and Christina, my wife, would go to like a local coffee shop and bring Risk, like a classic old school box falling apart Risk, where the pieces are actually Roman numerals, not even like, you know, the little carved out stuff.
Yep.
And we would play for hours. It was a lot of fun. We'd bring cookies. Good times. All right.
But the coffee shop people hated you anyway.
No, man, people would come around and like sit around us and watch. It was great. 90s TCG, that's trading card game. 90s trading card game. Were you X-Men or Star Wars?
I didn't play either. I didn't do trading card games, but you know, I don't really have a lot of time for you know, the X-Men folks, not because I just never really, as we've discussed before, never really got into them. So yeah, I'll go with Star Wars if I had to pick.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did pseudo collect the Star Wars cards because it was like the thing. When X-Men was the thing, I remember a lot of kids in my class had them, but I never got them. I was always like, especially because it was a little bit earlier in the 90s. And like, you know, you had Wolverine like with his claws out and everything. And I was a little too scared to ask my mom if I could buy them because I thought it's like she's going to veto this immediately. So, yeah, Star Wars. Absolutely. Monopoly themed or classic?
Classic. I, you know, if I'm going to put you in the poorhouse, I want you to go down the traditional way.
All right. So no fast paced Monopoly, no Monopoly Junior, no, you know,
well,
Simpsons,
that's the thing.
Monopoly.
Like they've got all these, you know, different iterations of Monopoly now, right? You can I was at the store the other day here in Mississippi. They do these collegiate themed Monopolies, and there was a MSU-opoly, a Mississippi State-opoly, you know, and I'm like, man, that's cool. I love my university. I'm a proud alum. But I don't want to play that. I want to play the normal one, you know?
Right. Wow. That's it's like a testing moment, right? Of your fandom. It's like, you know, how far are you willing to go? College football Monopoly might be a step too far. Yes. Paint your body.
There's probably a support group for that. Yeah,
exactly. You know, paint your body, go streaking on the field, tear down the goalpost. Absolutely. But if you hit me with a college university Monopoly, no way, that's too far. That's the line. And then finally, and this is old school. Shoots and Ladders or Candyland?
Shoots and Ladders, man. There's nothing more satisfying than sliding down that little chute.
Absolutely. Yep. 100%. I'm right there with you. Candyland, I recently replayed that game with my kids, and it is very boring. So yeah, Shoots and Ladders all the way. All right. Well, hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, be sure to send those in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback coming in this week. Let's see. This first one is an iTunes review that comes in from T23489, who I'm assuming is not an Android, but you never know. You never know.
I think we probably do have a droid listener, and this is probably him.
It could be. It, right? It'd be an it? I don't know. So what did T have to say?
T23489 on iTunes says, great podcast. I've been listening to the show for a few years and have really enjoyed the content and information they produce. I am a farrier, so I'm on the road a lot on my way to the next barn, and the guys help me pass the time. It's like listening to your buddies talking about the day and latest developments and the likes and hobbies you share. I'm a third generation pipe smoker, but I still have a lot to learn, and Country Squire Radio is my go-to. I also appreciate that they're reformed in their theology, which just adds to the feeling of having my buddies with me. But don't worry if you're not so inclined. It's a pipe smoking podcast, which it is. So thanks, Bo and JD. Let's go have a day. Man, so kind. T23489. Our droid friend on iTunes, man, really kind words. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're still reformed, right? John David, relatively reformed? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Five points, baby.
Always love when someone's no longer reformed because I like to remind them they were predestined to be so.
Right. That's right.
All right, man. Next up, we got one in from Matt. What did Matt have to say?
Of course, you make the guy with the, no voice read all the iTunes reviews.
Yeah, that's wrong. Do you want me to take this one, man?
I got it. I'm going to rub it in your face. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Matt says, I'm currently smoking my first bowl of shepherd's pie in a 1930s K. Woody super grain billiard, and it is lovely. Thanks for the blends foremost. Though in a broader sense, thanks for the experience. I'm enjoying the podcast, and you guys have taught me everything I know. Well, save for Levine, because Levine helps also. God bless, and that's from Matt. Matt, thanks so much for listening, and glad you're enjoying the shepherd's pie, man. That's one of our best-selling blends, our best-selling Balkan-style English blend, really good blend, and of course, smoking it in that vintage K-Woody. I know that brings you a lot of joy. So, man, thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we love getting this feedback in, especially those iTunes reviews. If you have not done so already, head over to iTunes, write us a review. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it, and it's a great way to help out the show. And actually, man, I just noticed this. Like, we was combing through a couple of the reviews, and I noticed we got some longtime listeners who are reviewing us for the first time. And so don't think if you've been listening a long time, like, hey, you can still write us a review, like, out of nowhere.
Right.
And it goes a long way. So please do so. Also, if you do have a couple dimes you want to throw at the show, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio to keep us growing and going and making this show happen. The Country Squire Radio Pipe Club International. Actually, you know what? That would be cool if it was worded that way, wouldn't it? The Pipe Club International. It's like Justice League International or something of that nature. But one way or the other, join the International Pipe Club at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You can keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Bo York.
You can get me at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_countrysquire.
And of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this was, you know, again, tobacco talk. This is getting back to the meat and potatoes of it all. And also, you know what? It is a great, I think, as with any time we talk about various products, it's a great way to showcase the amazing palate and just knowledge that none other than John David himself brings to the table. So excellent job today, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. And your judgment is duly noted as being, probably not very good.
Oh, come on, man.
Thanks for having me.
We'll give you, now it's time to get you some rest on your voice, man. So, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.